Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. I seek refuge with Allah against the rejected enemy Shaitan. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, the Lord and Cherisher of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, those who go not astray. Amen. I bear witness there is no God except Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all between, alcoholic, and no partners has he. And I bear witness Muhammad, the 1445 Ramadan, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is Allah's servant and messenger and the seal of the prophethood. I greet you and us with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to this evening session of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio, the number one listening radio station in the nation. And I am your host, Dapreetha Abdul Hadi, servant of Allah, highly glorified is he, Al-Hadi, the guide. And as always, we open with hugs and love to you. Come on now, give me a big old squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. Oh, alhamdulillah, I'm squeezing your back. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I feel your love, alhamdulillah. Thank you so kindly. And I pray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are feeling my love back to you, because we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the hearing, the seeing, feeling, and into that. And I pray, Allah, that you're feeling my love back to you. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Thank you so kindly. We are now in the fifth month of the Islamic calendar. How time is moving right along. I say it every day, and I know every week when I come, I say, and it's a wonderful thing. I wonder sometimes, I just wonder sometimes, is it that, you know, like the, you know, the aging brings about a time really flying somewhat, you know? Is it that somewhat we may slow down? I don't know, within our own selves maybe, or even when we're younger, we're so involved with not even thinking about time, and that, you know, it just kind of, you know, seems as though it strolls along with us. But I can say this, it's certainly moving on. It's moving fast, you hear? So we are now in the fifth month of the Islamic calendar, Jumada al-Awwal. And today is the fourth day of Jumada al-Awwal, 1445 on the Hijra calendar, and November 18th, 2023 on the Gregorian calendar. As the months are moving on, we're right up on, we've already entered into 1445 on the Islamic calendar, the new year, but we're vastly approaching 2024 on the Gregorian calendar. Ah, it's moving right along, and it's you know, as I open up, I'd be thinking about some things I want to say to you, and I can't think of them right now. But tonight, we continue our, that is the call for the Maghrib coming in. And you know how I feel about the prayer call, but I just have to let you know that it is coming in. So if you're hearing the prayer call there, inshallah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us to reach the evening. And we call to you, O Allah, and the bearers of your throne, your angels, and all of your creation to witness. None have the right to be worshipped except Allah without partner. And Muhammad, may the prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, is Allah's servant and messenger. And the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, encouraged us that if we cannot say a recitation three times, that we can say at least twice. So once again, and we say this Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you blessed us to reach the evening. And we call to you, O Allah, and the bearers of your throne, your angels and all of your creation to witness. None have the right to be worshipped except Allah without partner. And Muhammad, may the prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, is Allah's servant and messenger. Ameen. And we also are encouraged by Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, as an example of his sunnah, that he also made the same prayer at the Fajr, exchanging the evening for the morning. Alhamdulillah. Oh, I tell you, it really does. It just, the prayer call. I pray a lot, you can hear it. Give me a moment, I'll be right with you. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I mean, it's just, I know when you hear the prayer call, it just brings up every emotion in our very existence. The compassion that we have for our Lord, and towards our Lord, and cherish Allah, highly glorified is He, El Khaliq. Tonight, we discuss in our ongoing topic, you know, we establishing our relationship with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is He. And we are discussing, we will continue to discuss, developing a strong and vital relationship and our responsibility to this relationship. And in this relationship that we establish with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our colleague, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all between, and no partners have He. And this is what we'll do in the first hour. And in the second hour, we have topic, life reflections. That time, we will open up the lines, and we will share our reflections, your reflections to one another and with one another, inshallah. And so as you can see, this life reflections portion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought that to my consciousness about third week for it. And it's been going along pretty well, and of course it would, because it's what Allah brought to the heart and the mind to present. I always want to present on this particular program, Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab, to put Al-Islam, the studying and the practicing of Al-Islam, out in the focus of our minds, our hearts, in our seeing, our feeling, our understanding, coming to association with these faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and focusing on it, on this information about Al-Islam, and sharing it. And the second hour, which is life reflections, continues the same line of thinking in terms of Al-Islam and how we're able to see and reflecting on the practicing of the religion and the learning of the religion and putting that in focus as well. Alhamdulillah. So I'm excited. I'm always excited. You know, every time I come, I'm excited because that's what learning does. It excites us by giving us information sometimes that we didn't know, and information sometimes just as a reminder that we do know, because we have a responsibility to share, and that's what we're doing here on Alice Farman Focus Learning Lab, and all of us are learning. All of us are learning. I am learning along with you. And alhamdulillah. So without further ado, we're going to go on and take our first pause for our public service announcement and very important information, and we're going to get right into the program for this evening. You're listening to Alice Farman Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360. That's American Muslim 360 Islamic Radio, the number one listening radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. And I am your host, Dapreeta Abdul Hadi, and we're going to take our pause for our public service announcement and very important information. And as always, we ask you to stay. Please do not go away, and we will be right back. Oh, get this out of here. Get back. Get out of here. Out. Okay, here we go. And we're going to start out with a very important event that is taking place, and I'm going to take us to after.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals, A Time to Be Grateful, coming to North New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. And that particular PSA, you know, it's been so much advertisement, publications, if you would, about this particular event coming up, A Time to Be Grateful. This is an event that's put on every year. And do you know how, when I'm talking about time flying, now I think I heard someone say this was going to be the 19th year. Oh, my goodness. I can remember back, I guess, then 19 years ago when the Muslim Journal first started this particular event. And this year is just absolutely going to be just extraordinarily way different. It has grown so much of the different categories of this event that they're having this year. So, and I'm believing it's going to be in Newark, New Jersey, because listening on another program on our sister station, IWDM Radio, and listening to a presentation of, I believe, the Imam of Newark, there in Newark, New Jersey, on the MGM Muslim Global Message Roundtable with the host Mark Shaheed, which is, I think that comes on Wednesday, but he'll be on a little bit later, inshallah. We're going to make sure he gives us that information, so we make sure that if we had any questions or concerns about it, I'm telling you, he would be one of the ones. I think he is the spokesperson for that particular event as well. But he had that imam on, and he was just explaining just in detail all of the different activities that were going to be taking place. And I don't know now. I would love to go. Inshallah. We will see. Okay. Now, just a reminder to you out there on AM360.org land, and we want to thank everyone for being here inside the studio as well as AM360.org land. But if you're there specifically speaking to you online right now, you want to, if you have anything you want to share or commentary that you want to make on anything that you heard or this evening or anything you want to share, you're going to need to dial into the studio. And you're going to do that by dialing in at 515-605-9891. Or you'll be able to dial in at the 425-292-4253. And you do that and write those numbers down because this is the learning lab. And so all the information that you're going to receive, I'm pretty sure you're going to want to take some type of notes. So you want to definitely take these numbers down when you're online in the .am360.org so that you'll have them at your disposal when you want to dial into the studio and make a comment. You're going to need to press 1, and we'll see that you're in the studio and that you have your hand raised to make a question or a comment. Alhamdulillah. We want to invite you as well to connect to us 24 hours in our live podcast programming at am360.org or 701-719-4197. And visit our parent corporation, Community-Wide Shura Conference, at cwsc.us. Excuse me, and I always put emphasis on the .us because that represents us all being here together, not only in the studio, but as well as the one mind on good thinking and Islamic culture and information. So that's cwsc.us, and that's also that website of our parent corporation. And there's a lot of great information about CWSC and its intelligentsias. Also, if you'd like, you can email us at info, that's info, at CWSC. Again, that's .us. You can tweet us at CWSHURA, and that's at CWSHURAA. And you know you can give us a like on Facebook, and you can leave us a listener comment if you like or question at our business office at 910-317-0297. And remember, however you choose to connect with us, we look forward to hearing from you, and we certainly do appreciate you kindly. Alhamdulillah. So with that, we're going to get into our presentation this evening as we are continuing developing our relationship with our Lord and Cherisher, Allah, our Creator, our Khalik, and Lord and Cherisher, Al-Muqit, the sustainer of his creation. We're talking to the pens and paper as new believers, as seasoned believers, as new Muslims, and seasoned Muslims. And the new Muslims would include your being new Shahadas, taking your Shahada to the religion of Al-Islam, and practicing the religion of Al-Islam, and learning Al-Asma ul-Husna is what the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, has said. For those of us that learn the Al-Asma ul-Husna, which of course are the 99 known beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we come to learn them and incorporate them in our daily lives, this will provide us, if you will, with a seat in the paradise. And alhamdulillah, this is what our striving in this life is for, the believers and the Muslims in particular at this point, because we are speaking of Al-Islam. We're certainly working to receive a seat in the paradise. And also we understand that when we incorporate the Al-Asma ul-Husna, and that's, I'm going to spell that because I know some of you have, be like, you know, trying to, you know, remember how to pronounce it. And I'm going to give you the spelling right now. So you write it down, and then that way you'll know. We got capital A-L, and there's a dash in there. Capital A-S-M-A dash U-L dash capital H-U-S-N-A Al-Asma ul-Husna. You're getting that M-A and the N-A on the ends of those words. So that's Al-Asma ul-Husna, N-A. And we know by learning and practicing Al-Asma ul-Husna in our daily lives that this gives us of course, that seat in paradise. That's along with good actions now, good intentions, good actions. But I can tell you this, in practicing, incorporating, making it a part of our daily lives, Al-Asma ul-Husna, it gives us insight into the word, will, and way of Allah, highly glorified is He. I'll call it the Creator. That's one of Al-Asma ul-Husna. He is Allah. He is Allah. Highly glorified is He. Al-Khaliq, the Creator. And, of course, you might be saying, well, what are you saying? Spell it. Okay, I'm going to go through that. And I like to spell out things so that you can, you know, give you the most proper learning that I can give. And, of course, we're talking about Allah, highly glorified is He, being Al-Khaliq, that's capital A-L dash capital K-H-A-L-Q. And that's Al-Khaliq, the Creator, and Al-Muqit, that's capital A-L dash capital M-U Q-E-E-T. And Al-Muqit, Allah highly glorified is He, is Al-Muqit, the sustainer and maintainer of His creation. So Incorporating Al-Asma ul-Husna gives us insight into the word, will, and way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this helps us to see, hear, feel, understand, and have the intellect to relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is all about establishing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, you know, I tell you this numerous of times, but there's always new persons online, and we want to always keep them up to speed on where we're at, if you would, or up to the knowledge of where we're learning. And into establishing our relationship, Imam W.D. Muhammad, may Allah bless him with paradise, was in the one that gave us the insight to know, because I didn't know, and I've been around for a good while. I would consider myself a seasoned Muslim, but I didn't know. It hadn't been explained to me as he did explain it to me, that I could actually establish a relationship. Mm. So when I heard the information, you know, I was just so excited and just invigorated, you know, with excitement that I could do such. And of course, I set right out to do just that, and that's to establish the relationship with our Lord and Cherisher, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Muqid. And so in doing so, I've come to learn, when we establish and sincere in establishing that relationship with Allah, our Lord and Cherisher, that it's going to keep our minds in doing what's right. It's going to give us this right intention, good intention, you know, because Allah highly glorified, as he has said, when we call on him, he answers, he responds. He is al-Mujib, the responsive, and he responds to us, you know, when we call on him. So, in continuing tonight, it is just a highlight of going to over from we presented this last week. The first thing we're going to do in establishing this relationship is learn what it is required of us in establishing and growing our relationship with Allah, and highly glorified is he. And our first responsibility in learning what is required, we find out that prayer is the first obligatory upon us in establishing this relationship, because we're going to need to make prayer. In order to be responsible, we got to know what it is that is expected of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is he, has prescribed prayer. First thing. And as is stated in the hadith, that when we return to our Lord and Cherisher, Allah highly glorified is he, that is would be the first event, if you would, that would be looked in upon to us as a servant, and that is the state of our prayers. So prayer is very vital. You must learn your prayer. And I'm speaking, of course, to the new Shahada, because seasoned Shahadas, you know, we know our prayer. But I just want to speak to you as new Shahadas, the importance of learning your prayer. And you may not be able to get it from the beginning in Arabic, but put your heart and your intentions with to learn the Arabic in the prayer, but the first intention is to learn the prayer in the language in which you are reciting every day, which is English right now, that we know, in your native language of what you know we're used to, and that's the English. Learn it. It is vital. It is vital to establishing your relationship. And I'm going to give you some okay, and establishing the prayer, these are the prerequisites for the prayer, which is Salat. You know you got to prepare. We talked about it last week. You know you got to prepare yourself to be, first of all, clean. Cleanliness coming to prayer. So you're going to either be in took a ghusl, which is a full bath, but, you know, every time you get ready to go to prayer, you know, like throughout the day, you won't necessarily need a ghusl, but you may need to definitely make your wudu. So learn how to perform your wudu. Learn how to make yourself clean in coming to your prayer. This is all a part of establishing our relationship with our Lord and Cherisher, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Muqi, because this is going to open up our hearing, our seeing, our feeling, our understanding, and our intelligence. See, so we can be able to hear that in this relationship, see in this relationship, have the correct feeling and understanding to relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is obligatory for a person who wishes to perform the prayer to make sure that he or she satisfies the following prerequisites before entering prayer. And number one is having the intention for the prayer. You must, one who is going to pray must have in his heart the intention to pray whatever prayer that is that you're going to say. That's the Fajr, the Zuhr, the Asr, the Maghrib, or the Isha. Those are obligatories. Those are the prayers that has been set for on the, those are the five prayers. But now, remember, outside of that, you can do extra prayers, which is called supererogatory or sunnah prayers. You can do that, but if it's a obligatory prayer or a supererogatory prayer, which is one you made your prayer for that particular time, but you want to just go an extra prayer, you can do that. But in either prayer, you want to be clean. And you want to have that intent to make that prayer so that it can open up your faculties of hearing, seeing, feeling, and understanding and the relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I also wanted to share some ayats from the Quran. Oh, also this evening I wanted, inshallah, I'll be having so much, okay. I wanted to do some ideas too. But here is, so having the intention. See, because when you go there, and I'm taking time on this, everyone. I'm taking time on it because I know of some new Shahadas. They're still learning. So the intention is very important, and it's important to make that intention Oh Allah, I hereby resolve, you know, make my intention to perform prayer to you, whatever prayer it is. That's intention. That's stating your intention right there. So when you state that intention, guess what? Everything else is going to dissipate from your mind, from your thinking, from anything that has taken place. It's going to close all of that stuff out, and it's going to put you in the prayer mode. You know what I'm saying? It's going to put you in the prayer mode because you want to do this, and you want to do it to the best that you can do it because you are in understanding that in this relationship that you are establishing with your Lord, that he is listening to you, and you want to let him know, though he already know, but you want to make your intentions to let in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit, and you're giving all of that intention and attention to Allah, highly glorified is he. And you're going to make your prayer. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Quranic verses about prayer, verily I am Allah, and there is no God but I. So serve you me, and only and establish regular prayer for celebrating my praise. Now, that's what, you know, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to us. And when you say, serve you me, that's Allah speaking to us. And establish regular prayer and for celebrating his praises. And you'll find that in Surah Taha. I do apologize. Let me see here. I got that. Taha, I believe Taha is Surah 20-something. But just if I can quickly get through here and come up with it, or if anyone is on the line and you got it right there before you, Taha, I believe, is Surah. I don't want to get you all. Excuse me, I can't get it off right now. Oh, Allah, help me with this. Ah, there it is right there. I knew it was 20-something. It's Surah 20. Thank you, Allah. You're so good to us. See what I mean? See, when you love Allah and you're making your intentions to establish that relationship with him, he is there always, always. And he goes on to say, so you'll find that in Surah, did I say 20? Yes, Surah 20. Ayat 14. Okay, let's go here. I think it's Surah 20. Okay. I'm going to put that right here. So next time I say this, I think it's Surah 20. Is that what I said, y'all? I think Surah 20. Yeah, Surah 20, and that's Ayat 14. Okay. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, recite what is sent of the book by inspiration to you and establish regular prayer. For prayer restrains from shameful and unjust deeds, and remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life. Without doubt. And Allah knows the deeds that you do. And we'll find that in Surah Ankabah, the spider. And that's Ayat 45. Also, and this is just a few of the ayats that I have here to just to remind us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highly glorifies He, the kindness He is to us, and that is He is Al-Aru, the most kind, the kindness He is to us to remind us, to gently remind us of our duties and responsibilities. And that is all in establishing our relationship, because He's going to speak to us. He's going to let us know. And we're going to be able to hear it, see it, feel it, understand it, and carry it out with our intelligence. Isn't that just wonderful? Okay, here's the dance. You know how I feel about it, okay? Allah highly glorified, as He says, invoke me. Invoke, you know, call on Him. He says, call on Him. He will respond to our calling. And we'll find that in Surah 40. That's Surah Mu'min. And that would be Ayat 60. And finally, the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, he says, you know they're acting, my computer's acting. And finally, the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, says, indeed, the first deed by which a servant will be called to account on the day of resurrection, or we can say on the day of accountability, the first of his deeds, which would be called to account, would be our state of our prayers, the state of our prayers. Now, if that prayer, if the state of our prayers is complete, meaning we have been constant in observing and learned how to properly perform our salat, our intentions was all there in terms of performing our salat to the best that we can, then when Allah highly glorified, as He looks into our deeds of the prayer in the position of our prayers or the completion of our prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, if the prayer of the servant is complete, then he is successful and is saved. You know, saved. We get in a paradise then. We you know what I'm saying? We saved on that. But if, and we would have won. Hey, we would have been successful. But if the prayer is defective, you know, you've not learned how to do it. You've not, first of all, you've not cleaned yourself in coming to prayer properly with wudu or ghusl, made our intentions holy, mind, body, soul, and spirit with the intention to do our best and the attention to that prayer, hey, then the prayer is defective. And that person would have failed and lost. And this was related by Imam At-Tirmidhi and this Hadith 413. Alhamdulillah. Now, also, you know, this evening, that's going to conclude. Oh, my goodness, I cannot believe how I get through here and I get to talking. And my apologies. I do have to take I do have to take my next break here. We do have to take our next pause. You are listening to Alice Lum and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I am your host, the Preacher Abdul Hadi, and we're going to take our next pause for our public service announcement and very important information. And as always, we ask you to stick and stay. Please do not go away, and we will be right back, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam. And of course, that is our own executive director here at AM 360 CWSC, Martha Naila Abdullah, with reminding us to have the love and respect, compassion, which is going to bring about peace. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we are back. Oh, excuse me. Well, just a reminder, if you're out there at the AM360.org land and you have a question or a comment, at any time you can dial in. You're going to need to dial in because there's no way for you to make that communication when you're online. You're going to need to dial in, and you're going to dial in at the 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253 and press 1. And we'll recognize you and give you that opportunity to share what's on your mind. Also, if you have, you can connect with us on our 24-hour live and podcast programming at am360.org or 701-719-4197. You can leave us a listener comment at our business office, or not a comment, you have a question, some information you're trying to get a hold to, you can dial us at that business office at 910-317-0297. And remember, however you choose to connect with us, we look forward to hearing from you, and we certainly do appreciate you kindly. Time, I told you, you see how fast time is going. You know, I had other things I was trying to do here this evening, so I, without further delay, I also wanted to get into just some hadith, because that's what it's all about here at Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab. We're going to be studying information coming from the Quran, from the hadith, from our leader, Imam David Dean Muhammad. May Allah bless him with paradise. Yes, he's moved on. He's been returned to Allah, but the information he left is, we got to learn it. We got to learn it because it is our future. It is our life. It is our blueprint to getting and building this life here in this world and preparing ourselves for the hereafter. Alhamdulillah. So with that, we're going to do some hadith. I've taken out a few of them, and then we're going to get into the second hour. I know. So we're going to start with, of course, this beautiful hadith, which is about mercy in prayer. We've been talking about establishing our prayer, because that is the first first thing is going to be inquired upon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us on the day of resurrection, on the day of accountability. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, reported the messenger of Allah, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, would listen to the crying of a child in the company of his mother in prayer. And he would recite a short surah or a small surah. And this was Sahih Muslim, Book 4, Hadith 217. And the wisdom of this, if you are leading the congregational prayer, and hear the cries of a child, have mercy on them. The Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, he would recite a short surah so that the parent can attend to the child and not cause it any distress. Isn't that beautiful? And it's good that we're hearing this information because, you know, I found myself, you know, in this type of position, you know, in reciting the prayers. And, you know, anything come up, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm steadfast in my prayer, okay? So if the phone ring, if somebody knock on the door, you know, unless somebody fall out and is laying on the floor, I see it that I would say, okay, then I would like, okay, I'm going to go on and, you know, go on and complete this prayer here so I can take a look at what's going on. But other than that, I'd be like, they hollering? Yeah, well, they'll be okay. I'll be finished here shortly, you know. But with this type of information coming from the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, and what he would do in the sunnah that he shared with us is shorten the surahs so that, you know, we can go on and complete the prayer and let, you know, we can attend to that crying child, you know, because he loved children, and I know we love our children, and we don't want to cause any more distress than what they're in. And we want to say, love your children, honor others, and be mindful of them when we're in prayer. So the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, he loved children and always treated them well with kindness. Alhamdulillah. Okay, and some of these hadiths you may have heard, some of them you may have not heard. Okay, I'm wanting to share them. We need to learn hadith. This is a part of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. So if we didn't know it, we're learning it now. If we did know it, it's a beautiful reminder. Okay, also, this next hadith is about strength. About strength. S-T-R-E-N-G-T-H. Abd Allah B. Masood, may Allah be pleased with him, reported the messenger of Allah, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, as saying, whom do you consider a wrestler among you? A wrestler? Nah, that just goes to show. Some of them I read before, and some of them I didn't. This one I didn't, so I'm very interested because we're talking about the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, asking whom do you consider a wrestler? You know, W-R-E-S-T-L-E-R. And, you know, your mind go to that, you know, the arm wrestling, you know, where that's where mine went to anyway, or a person wrestling in the ring or something among you. And the people replied, the man whom the men cannot defeat in wrestling. So that's who they said they consider a wrestler. And the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, he said, no, it is he who controls himself when he is angry. How about that? And this hadith is about strength. And when it said wrestler among you, I thought it was meaning like wrestling, just as the people did. But the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace, blessing of Allah be upon him, share his wisdom in saying, it is not that wrestler. It is he who controls himself when he is angry. And then that is related by Sunan Abi Dawood, book 43, hadith 7. In the wisdom, true strength is being able to control the self, and not always in physical prowess. So we just learned something right there, because that's a mouthful, as the old folks would say. True strength is being able to control the self and not always in physical prowess. If you are in control of your emotions, you observe self-restraint and can maintain calm even when losing your temper. Then you are stronger than a wrestler. So work on patience and perfecting your character. The Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, never said no to anyone and was very positive in so many ways. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Today's beautiful hadith, next hadith, is about teaching the Quran. Narrated Uthman bin Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, said, the most superior among you Muslims are those who learn the Quran and teach it. And this was related by Sahih al-Bukhari, book 66, hadith 50. Learn, so now you know, anything you hear, it's all about this establishing a relationship. Learn the Quran and recite it regularly. Then teach it when you're able to do so. Be among the best of Muslims. May Allah bless all our Quran teachers. And to that we say, Ameen. Alhamdulillah for Allah's book of guidance, which is the Quran, and the messenger of Allah, peace and blessing of Allah be upon him. The Quran should be read daily, even if it's just one ayah. Even if it's just one ayah. So, you know, always have in your mind to read it and never be thinking, oh, I got to sit down and read the whole Quran. Well, that is certainly a goal. And it is certainly one of the things that we do and you will do as new shahadas during the month of Ramadan. It is prescribed, again, we were talking about earlier, we, in order to connect and establish our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to know what he has prescribed. And the month of Ramadan is one of the prescriptions. And during that month, in that prescription, we will be reading of the Quran along with fasting now. We will be reading the Quran and the whole of it. But on a daily basis before the month of Ramadan, make sure you read it every day. And if you're only able to get up and just read one ayah, read it and take that with you for the rest of the day and recite it over and over again. Pretty soon you'll have it to memory. You have it in memory to your heart. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Our next beautiful hadith is about the gatekeepers of paradise. Again, remember, this is the goal. This is why we are learning Al-Asma'ul Husna, to help us get that seat in the paradise. Because of a surety now, just be of a surety, we are going to return to Allah, our Lord and Cherisher, Al-Muqit, and our sustainer, as our sustainer, and our colleague as our creator. We're going to return to him. That's for a surety. It's only our short stay here on earth. And as you read the Quran and you study hadith, you're going to get an insight of this information about returning to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for surety, we're going to return. So whoever spends a okay. So we are now at the gatekeepers of paradise, and narrated Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, I heard the prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, saying, whoever spends a couple in Allah's cause will be called by the gatekeepers of paradise, who will say, so and so, come on in, come on. Oh, so and so. Now, this is what's going to be said from the gatekeepers of paradise. And they're going to, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is saying, whosoever spends in Allah's cause will be called by the gatekeepers of paradise, who will say, oh, so and so, come on. Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, said, such a person will never perish or be miserable. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to him, I hope you will be among such persons. And let me go back, because that's Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, said, such a person will never perish or be miserable. And the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, said, I hope you will be among such persons. And you know that go for us too. And that's related by Sahih al-Bukhari. And this was Book 59, Hadith 27. Can you imagine the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, wanting someone to be of paradise? Do you want to be of those people? Then spend in Allah's cause with the best of intentions and pray that Allah accepts our prayers and makes us of paradise. And may Allah accept all our efforts and make all of us of the people of paradise. And to that we say, Ameen. Okay, outside. I hear you. I can just hear your thoughts. So that I'm going to stop it right there. That's going to be the last of the hadith that I'm going to read, because I do want to get into our second half of our program. I know I went a little bit over, and we're going to get better, but we are going to get into the second half of our program, which, you remember, it's called Life Reflections. Now, where am I at? Should I? We just did a PSA. So I'm going to carry us into the second half here, which is going to be Life Reflections. And in Life Reflections, you know, this gives us the opportunity to share of our learning, al-Islam, by our being new to it and practicing it, and our being seasoned in our practicing it, that we will be able to share our life reflections on practicing al-Islam and learning al-Asma ul-Husna and practicing it in our daily lives. But you can come in and share whatever that you want to share in your practicing and learning of al-Islam and al-Asma ul-Husna. But you know, today I wanted to just put out there about health and wealth. And I know that I had mentioned in a conversation to my son, and I was mentioning something about my wealth, my wealth. And he says to me, and I'm sharing it with everyone, he says, Mom, and it's the truth, it's just the reality, and this is a reflection, health is our wealth. Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, is our wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H. And because we can have the much wealth as we can amass, and you know, we ask Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran that the believer prays for a commerce, C-O-M-M-E-R-E-N-C-E, commerce, that would never fail. And Allah, highly glorified as He is, Al-Haq, and He speaks the truth. And Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has said, He gives to His servant that which he asked for. He gives to his servant what his servant wants. So we know that if we ask for this commerce, which would equal our wealth, that will never fail, we're going to receive it. We are definitely going to receive it. And then we can probably look around and say, well, I ain't got two nickels right now to rub together. But your faith, your belief, and your trust in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will get to it. You will get to it. And you will see it as it unfolds. But now we can have all of the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give us. But if we don't have good health, what? What then? We're not going to be able to enjoy it because we have allowed ourselves to get in bad health. So as the life reflections today, what I'm wanting to present is the importance of our taking care of our health. And so that when we are given our wealth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we will be able to enjoy it. And, you know, inshallah. I, of course, you know, I got a hadith that I'm going to read about this, and it's about aging. And narrated Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's messenger of Allah, the messenger of Allah, highly glorified is he, peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, said, the son of Adam, such as man, that's in parentheses, because as we know, Adam represents man because he was the first man. Allah created man. And that's a little bit more we can get in on to that. And you know what? I may have someone come on and give a presentation into that, but they're very learned in it. But Adam, he says, the Prophet Muhammad, present peace of Allah be upon him, he says, the son of Adam grows old, and so also two desires grow old with him. And those two desires was love for wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, and a wish for long life. And now, you see that? Say, man grows old, as well as two desires that he may have. They'll grow old with him. And that is our love for wealth and our wish for long life. Now, I know you can relate to that. You know? Yeah, I know you can relate to that. It says that two desires grow old with him. And that is our love for wealth and a wish for long life. You know? You know, I'm not sure. But I have heard, I've heard that sometime that, you know, when persons get old and like all of their friends done return to Allah, you know, and maybe they haven't, you know, no other friends in their own age. And so, you know, they may like, well, I ain't going too much into, you know, having a very much longer life here. All of my friends are gone. All my, you know, some of them may not even have children or family members, you know. Maybe they don't be wishing so hard for to be here much more longer, though we don't want to make it seem as though as we get older we want to say, okay, just go on and pray for death, because we should not do that, because there's always something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have for us to either do or learn in whatever longevity of life that he gives to us. And our love for wealth, you know, even if we feel like maybe we've gotten too old to maybe even enjoy that wealth for ourselves, we want to give to others, give to other entities or other organizations, or and see the benefit of our wealth being used wisely, you know, with these other people. Your wealth will only benefit you in this life, and if squandered, will be a burden for you in the next life. The older we get, the more we lose loved ones as well as our own health. So, don't wish for a long life or more wealth. Pray for security of your faith and a healthy life where you are able to continue worshiping Allah, highly glorified is He, in the best possible way. And may Allah bless us all. And to that we say, Ameen. Sometimes it is difficult to change our ways, but Allah has blessed us with the ability to do so in positive ways. The faith of Muslims is built on the five pillars of Islam, al-Islam. One of those pillars is giving wealth to charity or zakat. In fact, in the Quran, charity is often mentioned with prayer. Alhamdulillah. Allah, highly glorified is He, is the provider of all. So therefore, a true believer should not fear poverty, because a believer is firm in their belief that Allah will provide for them. Yeah. It is generally believed by Muslims that a fear of poverty equates to having a bad opinion of Allah. So it says, it is a firm belief, fear of poverty equates to having a bad opinion of Allah. We don't definitely want to have a bad opinion of Allah. We want to have faith. We want to trust in Allah. We want to believe Him and know that it's going to be as we ask of Him for it to be. So with that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go on. Oh, I see we have a hand, but I promise I'm going to get right on to you. But what we're going to do here at this point, we're going to take our next pause for our public service announcement and important information, and then after that, we're going to get back and continue the program for this evening and answer those that are in the queue with their hands raised. And we do appreciate you kindly, and we do ask for your patience. Alhamdulillah. You're listening to Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and voice protected. I am your host, Dapreetha Abdul Hadi, and we're going to take our next pause for our public service announcement and very important information. And as always, we ask you to stick and stay. Please do not go away, and we will be right back.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals, A Time to Be Grateful, coming to Newark, New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum assalam, and we are back. And just as a reminder that tomorrow, Sunday, want to invite you to tune in starting at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. To 11 o'clock a.m. with Study Al-Islam with Fitra Muhammad and her guests between 10 and 11. And I was trying to look here. Then back at 4 o'clock, we have Princess Aziz keeping it real. And 4 o'clock, all this is Eastern time. And then at 5 o'clock, of course, the contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad with Imam Kareem Hamid and Imam Michael Hameen right here on AM 360. Okay, I see that we do have a caller, and I see it, alhamdulillah. We're looking at 314-833. Assalamu alaikum to you. Welcome to Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab, Brother Marcia.
Alaikum assalam to you, the priest of Abdul Hadi, and to your very distinguished radio listening audience of AM 360 Radio. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost always. And I want to just thank you. This has been an excellent Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab, always with the Al-Asma Ul-Husna, the beautiful, the 99 known beautiful names of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means the perfect, the most high, and also these hadiths. I raised my hand when you were given the hadiths, and two of the most reliable sources for hadiths, as you gave from what we call Sahih for the new Shahada. Sahih means really sound, really firm. Sahih means sound and very firm. Al-Bukhari and Muslim, they are very sound. All hadiths are not so sound. Some of them just average, and some of them a little shaky in norm. But the ones that you gave, very, very sound. I want to give some commentary, insight, and some things that Imam Muhammad have taught in terms of the hadith, that first hadith, this shows the mercy that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed in terms of shortening the prayer so that the mother can take care of the baby. There's also another hadith where it's permissible for the mother to fall out of the ranks and take care of the baby. Take care of the baby's needs that would come first. And I'm going to give you some connection here so you can see that it's not paradoxical or conflicting in that regard. Many of us have heard of the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that paradise, and I use this on my learning lab, that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Say it again, paradise lies at the foot of the mother. You see, so Imam Muhammad is teaching in terms of when we look at prayer, we should look at it as devotional worship. Some put more emphasis in terms of the ritual itself, but the worship and the service is in terms of being devotional to what Allah has given to us as responsibilities. And I think about 2 weeks ago, in terms of your relationship with your Lord and Creator, it becomes the responsibility. So let's look at this. We know that there are some things that exempt the woman from actually praying. One being that she still has menaces, then this exempts her. Also, when she is actually carrying a child, she might be able to make her prayers sitting down or maybe laying down, but obviously she's exempt from actually making prayers in terms of performing the rakahs as she would normally do, and if she's in pain, she's exempt from that. Also, if she is a nursing mother, it says prayer time. Well, who comes first, the prayer or her nursing the child? It comes first in terms of her nursing the child. One of the things in terms of looking at the hadith, that's a Sahih hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. One of the things is that she will be the first teacher. When birth comes to earth, he's given her the honor and distinction to be the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. But also paradise lies at the foot of the mother, that she will be the one that will be the caretaker. Mm-hmm. So understanding her role and responsibility, this is devout worship to Allah in making that first and foremost, because he has given her the provisions for caretaking first and foremost, more so than the father. And we'll find that in Surah 46, Ayat 15. So if you want, don't think that Mark Shahid is just making things up. I'll give you Quranic reference for that. And so this goes in line in terms of when the man came in the narration, when the man came to the prophet and said, who is it that we should have the most regard for? It was three times. And you'll find that in Surah 46, 15. And it is because of what it is that she can do that we as men can't do. We can't bore life. In other words, we can't carry life. And we can't deliver life. And we can't suckle or nourish life. Allah values that more so. Mm-hmm. And I could go deeper and deeper into that where he values it more so. connection after connection after connection in regards to that. So Imam Muhammad said this is devotional worship. You know, because that would precede prayer. So the prayer is not for Allah, the prayer is for us. But the devotional worship is more important because of us understanding our responsibility that Allah has given to us, and he's given that. He's given the honor and distinction to the mother. First and foremost, take care of your child. That's why that hadith, that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. If she does that, she's welcome into the paradise. Mm-hmm. Welcome into the paradise. Allah is Al-Aleem. We're talking about the 99 known beautiful names of Allah. So Allah knows. He's Al-Hakim. He's wise. He's Al-Basir. He's all-seen. Al-Sami. He's all-hearing. So Allah knows why she could be exempt from prayer. Her baby is just yelling. You know, mothers have that instinct in terms of know this, that child, if that child begins to start just yelling, say during prayer time, she is supposed to break ranks and go to that child and attend that child. I don't know how many know that, but I know this is the platform to give that information. So we want to be balanced, and Allah is merciful. He's merciful. His Rasul is merciful. Yes, that is a solid, you know, hadith, but it doesn't precede the fact that if your child, you hear your child is in trouble. It's just like, say, for instance, if somebody was to just pass out or faint or what they call that, not a blackout, I can't think of the name of it, or seizure. Mm-hmm. So it would be somebody that would have to stop it, whether it was in the men's ranks or the women's ranks, to do that. You see, that's devotional worship. That's what Imam Muhammad, that's devotional worship. See, because that person could come back. See, and the mercy is they can come back and make their salat, but you have to take care of that person right then and there, because maybe it could be a matter of a minute or seconds whether or not that life would be saved or not saved. So we want to just give you that in regards to that. The other thing in terms of the strength, in terms of the wrestler, now this is a good one. This is the first time I heard it, but in processing and looking at how it is that the Prophet Muhammad saw strength, you know, and probably most people like what you were articulating would think in terms of brute strength. It's not talking about physical at all. It actually is referring to the self-control and the discipline. Sounds familiar? You know, one of the pillars that really helps us is Siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan. So it's a prescription. It's actually been inscribed upon the human nature. Fasting is prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may learn, and the Arabic is taqtakum. It's a derivative from taqwa, so that you will learn self-management, self-control, self-discipline. Very, very important, because emotions, that's a word that's energy in motion, but it has to be disciplined in that regard and not allow your anger to take and consume you to do things. And that requires strength, a whole lot of strength to be able to do that. So the Prophet Muhammad is teaching and also giving wisdom at the same time in that regard. There's another one. the precept that you said, I want, and it skips my memory. I don't know if it's really handy there, because you gave about five, and there's another one I can't really think of. I wanted to give some insight in terms of that hadith, and I can't think of it right now. If you have it on your screen, please pull it up. But I know that...
I was going to say the few of them that made
paradise.
It nice.
Yeah, paradise in terms of spending. You see, now, this is something, too, that was said in the book. But this is in Al-Quran. This is in the Quran. And this is where we have to be balanced, too. We will remember Salat, but do we remember Zakat? You see, mm-hmm. They go together. That's not by accident. They actually go together. When you read the Quran, it will say establish regular prayer. Now, for the most important prayer is Salatul Juma. I don't know if people, the new Shahadas know it, or the seasoned Shahadas know that. Why? Because it is given a surah name all by itself, and Allah gives specific instructions for that salat. And so the mercy is, and I hear, you know, believers, you know, say boom, 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 you know, in terms of wanting to make this salat on time. But there's a mercy that is given in that time period. But for this salat, and those of you who know the Quran, you'll bear witness, Allah says, O you who believe, there's a misnomer that women don't have to attend Salatul Juma. Where we get that from? That's not in the Quran. Because go and I'll tell you where to find it so you can read it for yourself. You don't have to take my word. It's in Surah 62, Ayat 9. Allah starts off addressing the believers.
Mm-hmm.
Muslimas, they are believers. They are believers just like men are believers. It doesn't say except. It says, oh, you who believe. When the Friday call, and they make it, and Allah makes it very clear, when the Friday call to prayer, stop. They say, hasten. Stop what you're doing and hasten. That means hurry. See, you don't say hurry for any other. Say establish it. Just make sure that you do it. You establish it. But for this one, he says hurry. Stop what you're doing. Leave off traffic. That means go to and fro. You're doing this, doing that. And leave off trade. Leave off business. And hurry up and get there. You see, you know, we in our community, we've had the issue in terms of some mostly men. They come in late. And they feel like, oh, I got to make my two sunnah rakahs. The imam had already started the khutbah, or the khatib has already started the khutbah. Once that second call is made and you're late, you are supposed to come in and assume a seat with everybody, because Salatul Juma begins with the khutbah. It's different than any other. It's the only salat that replaces a fard, an obligatory salat, but it can't be replaced. But, you know, that would be good to have more insight. I don't have the time to go deep into it. Imam Muhammad gave to us. But you can see the rationale and the logic in what Imam Muhammad has given to us, because many of us just follow ritual. And he wants our community to be just ritualistic. He wants our people to really understand this thing, this religion, you understand, as it was, as it is given in the Quran, but also in the life example of the prophet in living the Quran. This is very, very important, and we need the tafsir, the clear explanation, so that we can always remain a balanced people. And then they, that last one, I don't know, that last one was about, no, you had another one in there, the priest, to see if you can locate that other one. And if you could. The one about the material, about the wealth. Oh, I know the one I want to make some comments on. The two desires, it said, of Adam. Now, this may be old learning lab because I won't be able to give you everything that Imam Muhammad taught us on. But this goes back. This goes back to the garden. It goes back to the garden in terms of, just to give a little overview, the appeal of Shaitan to Adam, he offered Adam longevity in life, and offered in the biblical scripture that you would come, you won't die. he's saying in the biblical scripture you won't die, you will become as a god. In the Quranic scripture, he says, God says that it was revealed that Shaitan offered longevity in life and you become as an angel. But he was he was appealing, the Shaitan, he being Shaitan, he was appealing to the curiosity and a desire to have long life. But Allah had already had promised him long life if he obeyed his commandment. But he was seduced and deceived by the Shaitan. So he didn't die physically. Nowhere in scripture you see where Adam died physically. We still represent Adam. But he died morally. And this is so very, very important, and is personified by the two sons that came, and that's Cain and Abel. One representing the material life, and the other representing the social life. Cain killing Abel represents that the material life, or the material wealth, or the desire for material wealth. It killed the social life. And don't we see that today?
Yes, sir.
I mean, whereas the material life has overcome and surpassed the social life, nobody got time. This is why even on the Gregorian calendar, that Thanksgiving, I'm thankful to Allah that at least there's a day set aside. Now, we know Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving for the Muslim and for right-minded people, that's every day. We give thanks to Allah every day. Every time we say Alhamdulillah, we are actually giving thanks, because our leading teacher told us that Alhamdulillah means more than all the praise. It means all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah for just giving us another opportunity when we wake up. You see, oh, there's so many things. Which are your favorites? Which are your two favorites? Will you deny? There's only a fool that would deny anything that Allah has given to them. You see, so I could go on and on and on, but that last one have deep, deep roots and connection. Now, you won't find that, say, to the new Shahadas and seasoned Shahadas. You're not going to find that on the Internet. You won't find that in a book unless it is something that Imam Warthi Muhammad, our scholarly teacher and leader, has given to us. You'll say, oh, my God, Oh, my God. Never made connections with that because it never made sense why one brother would kill the other. But this is allegorical and it's metaphoric, but it has a deep meaning and a message is being sent there in terms of why one brother kills the other blood, other brother, and the blood is spilled on the ground. And it's told to bury that, how to bury the social life. The social life is so much more important than the material life. It has its benefit, and it's acceptable, but it has to be accepted with God's guidance to it. This is why you have to pay zakat. Zakat is, the root meaning of zakat means purification. It purifies what you've earned, but it also brings a consciousness to those that's less fortunate than yourself, and that you owe that to those that are less fortunate and that's in need. It actually goes in terms of social consciousness. Oh, I could say a lot more, but I think I said enough. I'm going to stop there. As always, I'm enjoying Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab. And you're doing an outstanding job, as Sister the Priest Abdul Hadi. Just keep it up. And please, I want to say to all of you that tune in, don't forget, you only need basic tools. You know, the disposition you have to have is to have an open mind, an open heart, and the only tools you need is a sharp pencil or an ink pen and plenty of notebook paper and take good notes. And whenever Sister Hadi give you ayahs from the Quran, write them down. Or hadiths, you understand? Look them up and study, because that becomes your homework. And then once you can, Allah bless you to grasp it for yourself, make sure you internalize it. You realize that you get the manifestation, the realization of all it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have, and also the life example of His Rasul, His messenger. And then this ultimately will impact our individual life, marriage and family life, community life, and then bringing the whole of humanity back together under the guidance of Almighty God, Allah. With that, I'll stop there. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. You know, Brother Mark, I certainly do appreciate you, you know, all the time, and every time you come, and you always come in and share with us, and I'm just appreciating that and loving that, the fact that you're a good example, if you would. It's okay, y'all, don't get all upset with me and stuff that, you know, but you come in and you share your insight, your wisdom of your studying when you could see, and Allah was so kind to bless you to be able to, you know, He impressed that upon your heart. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, give it to you. He writes it on your heart. Therefore, if by any way that your sight does begin to diminish, it's written on your heart, so therefore you're able to recite it, even though you're not opening up the book and seeing it right at that time. So alhamdulillah, that is a true blessing. Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, I was going to say too, Brother Mark, that, and I've heard this before, that and it just stayed on my mind. I'm like, so why are they saying that? And so it says, which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? And I'm like, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm like, I read that surah, and I didn't remember seeing which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny. But I do remember seeing which of the favors of your Lord will you deny. So I'm examining this, and I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said, oh, so maybe this is why they're saying which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny. Because, and I don't have the exact ayat, but I know in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for the believer, He would give them two portions of his generosity and of his kindness, and that is of this life and the next. So I'm thinking, so maybe this is why when I'm hearing that, when they say, which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny, that this is what they're relating to, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that he will give the believer two portions of his kindness and his mercy, and that would be of this life and in hereafter.
Please, you know, whenever you have some time, give me a call on that, because I think this would be good at some point to actually, just a recommendation, you know, I'm telling you what to do on Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab, but I think it would be good to have on Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab. This is for those who are new Shahadas and those who are seasoned Shahadas that may not know what our beloved sister Dapreesa Hadi is speaking about. That would be Surah Al-Rahman. That would be Surah 55 in the Quran, you know. And I think it, the first 31 ayats is actually dealing. First 31 ayats, that's a lot of dealing with the favor. Even the first four, it starts off Al-Rahman. Al-Rahman. Alamaka and Kalaka and saying Alamai whom I be in, that the merciful benefactor, he taught the Quran and he created the human. So obviously if you stop right there, whoa, wait a minute. Does that sound backwards? You know, so it's not talking about a physical creation. And we know that if he taught the Quran, it becomes obvious, or it should be obvious and logical to us, who was the recipient of the grant. So then it also should tell us that Muhammad ibn Abdullah was not created until he received the Quran, not in completeness. His fitra, original nature, was intact. It was not stained. He never left that, despite all that had transpired. Oh, there's so much you could say, you know, out of my, you know, see, so, and then he taught clear and intelligent speech, you see, because during that time, it was in historical context. If those of you that don't remember your history, I didn't care for history, but I do remember, you know, when he was talking about world history in terms of the Dark Ages and the Renaissance. Mm-hmm. The Renaissance didn't come until after of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's final word of revelation, and Prophet Muhammad. And those of you who don't know, and I forget who the author is, but the scholars and all got together in world history, and they named the most, is titled, and you can go in and you can Google it, the 100 most influential, the most influential people in world history, not in American history, not in England history, not in France or any other part of the world, world history. And it is Prophet, and these are not Muslims that did this. Is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, that's so powerful because of what he brought about in the context of historical context, I should say, because he brought about enlightenment, what Allah revealed in the Quran. What is that? We call our book the Quran, Al-Quran, and the life example of the Prophet. Look now, it started off with a humble start, just a few Sahabas, even making the first migration to Abyssinia that we know as Ethiopia, you know, where there was a Christian ruler. all this is very significant. And then finally to Yathrib, that we know now is Medina, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So out of all the people in the world in recorded history, there was some that recognized, and it was put by, in a book, but not a Muslim, that Prophet Muhammad was number one. And I think they have in there that Jesus Christ actually was number three. But that just speaks volumes. That should make us really interested in wanting to really learn the sirah of the Prophet Muhammad and what it is that he did after receiving the Quran. Very, very important, you know. So I just wanted to say that. I know you probably getting ready to wind down, maybe want to say some other things, but I just want to get my little 2 cent worth, as they say. Alhamdulillah. And I said praise and thanks belongs to Allah. I'm obligated to share. And this is what I would say to our radio listening audience. If you have anything, and I know the priest of Hadi so very well, she welcomed you to share on her production, to share. You know, we are all forever be students. I see myself as always being a student until death. I mean, I'm a teacher, but I've never seen a teacher that wasn't a student. Imam Muhammad, he was a student, but he was a teacher. Oh, I know what the other one was. I know the other hadith, I'm going to make a comment on that. You say, they use the word superior. I don't like the word superior in that. But the best word, and Imam Muhammad has said it and taught, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a lot of the best of you. And so we should frame it like this, not the superior of you. The best of you are the ones that learn the Quran and then teach it. The best of you are the ones that learn the Quran and teach. He didn't, Prophet Muhammad didn't say the best of you are the ones that learn the Quran and then recite it. There's a difference between recitation of Quran and teaching the Quran. And if I ask the question, if I ask the question to those who are students and studying, was Prophet Muhammad just the Rasul, the messenger of Allah, only because he received it? And if you don't know, there's a report, there's a narrative that's once again solid, in that a man came to his wife, Aisha, Rahim al-Ahana, and wanted to know about who is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. What was his character like? Being inquisitive. She didn't answer him right away. She asked him a question. And the question was, do you not read the Quran? Now, you probably could imagine that man probably felt a little insulted. Well, of course I read the Quran. And I don't say he was a Quran walking, because I don't want to spook people out there. Some people, the Quran was, no, the Quran never walked. She said to him, he is the living Quran. He's living the Quran. Why am I saying that? Because that's how you teach. You say, okay, there's a verbalization and there's a demonstration. So Prophet Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah, the messenger of Allah, not only because he received the word of revelation. That's irrefutable. That's indisputable. He's also Rasul of Allah, the messenger of Allah, because he lived the Quran. And believe it or not, if you begin to study the sirah of the Prophet, you'll see how many people converted to this way of life because of the Prophet's demonstration of the Quran. I'll stop with that. I think it's a good way to stop, you know. But remember, the best of you are the ones that learn the Quran. So this has to be a goal for all of us. And I advise you to continue to listen in to Al-Islam in Focus, because this is what is being taught, to learn the Quran, then once you learn it, Allah bless you with the light of understanding, enlightenment, then you have to do like they used to say in the Baptist church my mother used to send us to, called New Light. It said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little,
saying it.
You done made it happen with a little light, but let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam to your brother Mark Shaheed, and thank you. Oh, brother Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
Please, please. I had mentioned you earlier about your program. Come on, I believe it's Wednesday in the MGM Muslim Global Message. But you please, just please let our audience know about your 2 days that you come on our sister station, IWDM. I appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. And it is Wednesday. The Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudine out of Miami, Florida. She joins me each and every Wednesday. And that's on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic perspective, how to reconstruct the destructive family life. So that begins each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on IWDM Radio. And then it's followed by the MGM Roundtable that the priest was talking about. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I like to invite very distinguished, esteemed people inside the community Imam W.D. Muhammad, that is. And sometimes I have honored guests that's outside of the community of Imam Muhammad, and topics, I might take on topics that are pertinent to us as a community. It begins 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on IWDM Radio. And that's on Wednesday. And then Thursday, the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and where we teach the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage. And now we're on the True Love Recipe from A to Z, different qualities and characteristics. We call them organic and natural ingredients, no artificial colors or flavors, and the preservatives are natural preservatives designed to sustain and maintain a healthy, harmonious relationship that we call the sacred institution of marriage. And so that happens each and every Thursday night, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on IWDM Radio. And that telephone number, dial in number, is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. And please press 1, just like here with our beloved sister, very distinguished host, the priest of Hadi. Love to hear from you. If you have questions or comments, you're always welcome to ask them or make comments. Or if the information and education is resonating with you, you have opportunity to express that. So I want to thank you so much, the priest of Hadi. Appreciate you. And you're doing a fantastic job with this learning lab. It's so much to learn. I'm telling you, I'm learning. I'm taking notes. I know y'all said, Mark Shaheed, you can't read. But that's all right. I take mental notes, and that's even better than writing it down. So that means that I'm challenged to remember that, put it in, and retain it. Do you understand? So alhamdulillah, thank you so much. I appreciate you greatly. May Allah continue to bless you and us and increase us in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of His word, His will, and His way, that we can become better servants unto Him by doing the work that will be addition to His cause. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you so kindly. Alhamdulillah. Okay, everyone, that is it. Oh, I tell you, I just have enjoyed this evening's program. I always do, of course. And but when you all press 1, and if you know, and just come in and just share, just or just share what's on your heart and on your mind. I mean, that just seems to just, and give me encouragement. It gives me encouragement. I say, oh, Allah, thank you so kindly, because I know it is Allah that has blessed you all to be able to hear whatever is being said and be able to relate to it and come on and make your commentary. And I just do appreciate you so kindly. I'm doing a lot. But today, and we went a little bit over, so I'm going to get on off of here, but I appreciate you here in the studio. Those of you out there in AM360.org land, please remember to join us in the morning starting at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time with Study Al-Islam starting at 10 o'clock with Fitra Muhammad, and then at 4 o'clock with Princess Aziz, Keeping It Real, and coming back at 5 o'clock. Actually, you can stay right on in there when you come in at 4, because right after that you're going to have Contemplations of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad with Imam Kareem Hamid and Imam Michael Hameen. And I believe Sister Abdul Salam is on there as well, inshallah. But please join us tomorrow, and we look forward to you. And again, we thank you kindly for being here this afternoon. And I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there was something that was said that would excite you or inspire you, as I would say, into learning more about Al-Islam and applying it to your daily lives and recognizing the benefit and having the desire to reach the paradise. And to that we say, I mean. Okay, alhamdulillah. The upcoming week, may Allah bless us all with a fantastic upcoming week. And you, Mama Barry, yeah. You know me, honey. Confetti is always falling, and we just happy and just really and just feeling good about life. You know what I'm saying? And remember that the second segment that we're having here on Al-Islam in Focus is about life reflections. Life reflection. I know you're studying and you're learning, and it's always something new coming into your environment. Share those things that are coming into your environment. Share the learning that you are being blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn on Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab. And the second half is life reflections, alhamdulillah. So we look forward to that. And may Allah bless the homeless, those that are ill. Bless, may Allah bless them that are homeless with shelter. He said, did I find you wandering? And I gave you shelter and care. And I found you in need, and I made you independent. Therefore, treat not the orphan with harshness, nor repulse the petitioner unheard. But the bounty of your Lord rehearse claim. Alhamdulillah. And of course, you're going to find that in Quran, that is the glorious morning light. Not having the, the actual surah right then. I don't have time to really get into that. But if you read the Quran, you go back and look up the glorious morning light, and you'll find that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless those who are in need of shelter and food. Alhamdulillah, to that we say ameen. And may he bless those, we were talking about health this afternoon, that are in, we could say, bad health, or have been diagnosed with some type of disease. You know Allah have power over all things. He is Al-Muqtadir, the all-powerful. And that's, of course, one of the Al-Asma'ul Husna, and that we are all learning. So we pray to him that he will bless those that are in having health challenges, and know that Allah has power over all things, and that you pray to him about your health, and he will heal you. Do you hear me? Oh, honey, I know what I'm talking about. I know many of the seasoned believers out there knows what I'm talking about. Well, we want to pass that information on to you, new shahadas, new believers. Just try it. Trust Allah, and you will see. Alhamdulillah. And to that we say, I mean. And then we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those loved ones, because we all going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord and cherish. We're going to return. So we pray for mercy and forgiveness for them that have returned already of our dear loved ones, and for us of their loved ones left here with still work to do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice us all and bless us with the patience and peace that we need to carry on and do the work, and knowing, inshallah, that we will all meet up in his paradise, and that's what we're working for. And to that we say, I mean. Alhamdulillah, we came to you with the hugs and love. Now, you know we're going to leave out with the hugs and love, too. Now, look here. We got to, now I'm going to give this next person here. I just happened to just glance right back over here, and I see we have someone to come right in. And we're going to quickly take the caller, 718-344. Welcome to Islam and Focus Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Haja Lala from Georgia. I just wanted to mention that, how are you, love?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good, my darling, and yourself?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. I'll be brief because I know it's going off and I just got on. But Sarah's 93 for about morning glorious night.
What was that, Sarah?
That's all I need to say. 93.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Oh, we appreciate you so kindly for doing that. See, that's what I'm talking about. Listeners, you're listening, and you be right on point. Thank you so kindly, my dear sister. I am going to call you. I know. I know. I know. I know. I know all about it. But please pass the greetings on to your... Yes, ma'am. Yes. Pass the greetings on to your dear husband and your family.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I do look forward
yes,
to talking
ma'am.
To you.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You so kind.
You're so kind. You're so welcome. All right. Take care, sis. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. You see that, everyone? I love you all dearly. I know you can feel my love to you because I'm feeling yours coming back to me. Alhamdulillah. But we're going to end it right here. Big old hugs and love to you. Oh, inshallah. Bless us with a good night rest. And a blessed rising and a fantastic day tomorrow and upcoming week in Juma Mubarak. And I'm going to go. We're going to leave out with this beautiful song. Now, let me tell you, you know, I played this last week. But you know what? I was on another IWDM and he played it. I said, see, because last week I had made up my mind that I was going to have this as my theme song when I in my program. And this young lady, Suad El Amin, you know, she is on jam with everything she's doing. If she on jam so much, y'all know I'm waiting on Ramadan. I'm waiting on it because she got a song for Ramadan, too. But this one here is by Suad El Amin, and it's Shahada. So here we go. I love you. Assalamu alaikum.
And the messengers, oh, again.